Here is an issue that we cannot escape as much as we would like to on a daily basis. Forget our mortality. In a very sobering way, it has a way of rearing its ugly head in our lives on a daily basis, but also it comes to visit us in sometimes the least expected times and the least expected ways. If you've ever lost a loved one, this first 25 minutes of Issues Etc., I hope and I pray, will prove a comfort for you as we talk about life, death, and the life of the world to come. Sarah Schendel will be our guest in just a few minutes here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. From 3:30 to 4:30 on the program, we're going to be hearing some cuts from some 3:30 to 4, in fact. We're going to be hearing some cuts from a live satellite feed that went out this weekend from Focus on the Family on gay marriage. And it raises a question, because this is kind of seems to be a trend for the future in congregations on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis. Be it The Purpose-Driven Life with Rick Warren, be it Bill Hybels' Willow Creek Church, now an association, now a mini-denomination, largely due to live satellite feeds. Did you know that there are congregations within the greater Chicago area that depend almost entirely upon the satellite feed Sunday morning or in the midweek service from Willow Creek Church in South Barrington, Illinois? And there are congregations throughout the nation and outside the nation who depend to a lesser degree on the same satellite feeds. They're coming in live. It's Sunday morning. You get to hear Bill Hybels or someone else preach the sermon. And then when the video feed cuts, I guess you go back to doing what you were doing on Sunday morning. There are congregations in this area that took either live or video feeds from Saddleback Church in California, Rick Warren's church out there, as part of the 40 Days of Purpose. What do you think about this? On Sunday morning, you come in, the big screen's all set up, and there is your pastor announcing, this morning our service will be fed to us live from location X. Pastor Y will be preaching the sermon. And you realize, perhaps only for a fleeting moment, that this church does not necessarily, the one from whom you're receiving your live satellite feed, does not necessarily believe what you believe. That pastor is not the pastor you called to preach at your church. What's going on here? We'll talk about a satellite church when we come back after our conversation with Sarah Schendel, after the first 20 minutes or so of Issues, etc. In the second hour of the program, Senator Sarah Steelman, she's state senator from Rolla, will join us to talk about same-sex marriage. You probably saw the point-counterpoint in the opinion piece in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on the issue of the marriage amendment for the Missouri State Constitution. She has helped sponsor that. We'll talk with her about that for about 25 minutes in the second hour of Issues, etc. Then Pastor Richard Stuckwish of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana, will be our guest. We'll talk about Emperor Constantine, May the 21st, which was, if I'm not mistaken, Friday last week, was the date on which the church has observed this Christian ruler, Constantine. Nowadays, with the advent of the Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown's best-selling novel, there's all sorts of misconceptions and misinformation circulating about Constantine and his role in Christian history. We'll clear up some of those things and talk about the real Constantine with Pastor Richard Stuckwish there in the second hour. And in the third hour, Suzanne Venker joins us for the first of what we hope to be a series of a seven-part daily series on working mothers. We're going to begin with the first myth from her new book, Seven Myths of Working Mothers. Men have it all, so why can't women have it all? We'll deal with that in the third hour of Issues, etc. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Joining us here in the first 25 minutes, Sarah Schendel. She's author of an article for a new women's magazine called The Fount. Sarah's article is titled The Shadow of Death. She joins us from McCook, Nebraska, the home of our sister station, KNGN. Sarah, welcome to Issues, etc.
Thank you.
Sarah, tell us your story. It's one sad indeed and very near to your heart, the story of your husband.
Right. I'll start out by saying thank you for letting me be on the show. And it all started, he was not even the parish ordained for even a quiet year yet. He was a Navy chaplain. Our first parish was Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Kingston, New York. He was going through a lot of severe stomach aches, and we weren't quite sure what it was. He also had bleeding through the colon. He'd been checked out. And then one day he woke up, took him to the ER, and we waited in the ER probably about 5 to 9 hours until the CAT scan came back, and the doctors there told us that he had stage 4 colon cancer. And at that time, I was 6 months pregnant with our second child. We had a 2.5-year-old at home waiting for us, and it was quite a blow for us. We waited in the Kingston Hospital, at Benedictine Hospital there, for a couple of days, and we talked to a surgeon who got us connected to Sloan Kettering Memorial Hospital in Manhattan, New York City. And at that process, we talked to Dr. Wong, who gave Carl a colostomy and told us, because the small-town doctors in Kingston were saying to see how much of the cancer they can take out first and then do chemotherapy. But with the extensive, the colon cancer was all over his abdominal wall, even parts of his liver, all over in the colon, that if they would have operated, the chance of him surviving was very little. So we wanted to give it another try. My sister-in-law suggested we try Sloan Kettering, which we did. And at that point, the doctor said, first we're going to give a colostomy, help him pass the blockage that he has that's causing so much pain, and then they would try chemotherapy. And we were blessed to have a doctor that worked with us in Kingston, so we wouldn't have to go back down every other week for chemo to Manhattan, which was about 2 hours for us, which was a long drive. And I grew up here in Nebraska, so I had a good rude awakening and a lesson going to Manhattan and learning how to survive there. And it was just a wild experience. So Carl went through chemotherapy for several months, and we constantly grieving. You'd get the news that he has until the weekend to live, which was 3 or 4 days. And this was at the point of last May and the weekend of his sister Julie, her wedding. And he was supposed to be performing that, but that didn't work. He was hospitalized at that time for peritonitis, which is an infection in the colon that even caused more severe pain for him. And the doctors then told us he had till the weekend to live. We had family coming. And at that point, you're grieving, and then you stop grieving because he made it past the weekend and even showed signs to improve. He started passing things again through his colostomy, which is one of the things that the doctors look for to send you home from the hospital. He came home from the hospital. He was going for walks. He looked like a healthy man. But then it took a turn for the worse. He couldn't eat. He wasn't passing anything. He was a stubborn man. He was 28 years old when he was diagnosed. And he didn't want to go into the hospital. Finally, we convinced him. And this whole time, we only had hospice in our home for the last month that he was alive. So I was taking care of the girls and my husband by myself. His parents lived 4 hours from us, which was our closest relatives. So we really had to help each other through this. And it gave a real meaning to your commitment in marriage, for in sickness and in health, because you really have to, not think of yourself so much and just give to the person you love so much. But Carl was back in the hospital in severe pain again. And we call it, his mom and I call it a coma. He was going through all the signs of death. He was talking to people who weren't in the room, moving his hands, picking at the blanket, all the signs of death. He wasn't able to eat. He couldn't really respond to us. And then one day, I told the nurses at Benedictine I wanted to take him out for a nice May walk in their garden. And that's the day we say he woke up from his coma. He asked me when he could go home. And at that point, we started arranging for him to come home. We brought in a hospital bed in our house, and he came home. He lived probably a week after that. The day before he died, he was walking down the street. He had a pastor come and his circuit counselor come and give him the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and it was just a miracle to be there with him.
You have written recently that in the intervening time, as sick as he was, he composed a series of sermons on life, death, and the life of the world to come. And one of them appears actually as the article under your name in the latest edition of The Fountain magazine. The Shadow of Death is the title that has been given to it. I want you to talk about the message that your husband carried through these sermons about death not being just another part of life.
Well, you first start out in the first sermon, he talked about life, and he would make a point that it was always a struggle between death and life in our house, because in my womb I had our baby daughter growing, and yet he was dying. So that was a constant struggle in our house. But he makes the point that death has a doorway. It leads us to another part of life, the life eternal, that through Christ, he showed us on the cross that we can move on to a better life, which Carl was at peace probably pretty much from the beginning because he was tired of suffering and the pain that he was going through. So he was looking forward to not suffering. And for him being at a young age and all the difficulties he had with the colostomy, not having to go through that anymore, he was really at comfort at that. And he really points out that death has no victory and no sting. And God replaced our fear with comfort and confidence, not by telling us that death has been conquered through his son. And God also showed us that we can have hope because he sent his son here on earth. He died and rose again and showed us that there is life eternal.
Sarah, and there is absolutely no way for someone to understand, obviously, what you and your husband and your children were going through at that time. But it does sound incredible, although I believe you completely, that that God removed the fear of death. I try to put myself in your husband's shoes, and I think I would be bombarded daily by immense uncertainty about the future of which I was not going to be a part with my family.
Right.
And just basic fear of death.
Right. We had that. We had so many supporters. We had his birthday would come, and it wouldn't be completely filled with joy because he knew that was his last birthday on with us. And then also we have, it was just a constant battle of the grieving because you just get some hope, and then hope would be taken away. And in our family, we used hope a lot, the word hope, because you just hold on to whatever hope there was, whether it was just 1% or 50%. And then when that hope was taken away from you, you didn't know how you were going to go on.
And to face this not only as a husband and wife, but for him also to face it as a pastor who, as you pointed out very early, had just barely begun to do what God had called him to do. I'm wondering about a ministry that is, as you said, barely a year long before he leaves it when Christ calls him home. How do you reflect upon the short but obviously impactful ministry of your husband as a pastor called into the church to give God's people the gospel and the sacraments?
I tell you, Carl told his mother and I over and over that he wished that God would have left him longer here, because in his whole, it was a year, a little over a year from when he was diagnosed with cancer, he learned so much that he wished he would have been able to share with others. And through these four sermons that he wrote, when he died, I've had letters from overseas. I had, just before he died, the day before, I had a call from a pastor in Texas asking me if I could use our situation in a Bible class. There were so many calls coming in that the day before Carl died, I realized what his purpose on earth was, and that was being a great witness, because I seen all the phone calls and letters, and the Daily Freeman in Kingston wrote articles on us, and we got so much response from that. It was just a wonderful thing to go through, even though there was so much suffering.
And now you, just to finish your story, if we could, before we wrap this up, Sarah, now you and your children are in McCook, back at your, as you said, you come from Nebraska?
Correct. I met my husband at the seminary, and my dad moved us out there to Fort Wayne because he was going to study to be a pastor, and he's been in the parish here a little under a year, and we moved out here because there is a community college so I can go back to school, and I could have my mom's assistant watching my younger one while I attended school. But just to have the support of the family here is just a wonderful thing.
Sarah Schindel, thank you very much for being our guest on Issues, Etc. Thank you especially for allowing the Fount Magazine and our listeners here on the program to share in not only the reflection of the pain that was there, but also of the tremendous comfort that comes through Christ's death and resurrection for us. Thank you for being our guest on Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Sarah Schindel is author of an article in New Woman's Magazine. It's called The Fount. And if this article is any indication of the quality and of the Christ-centered, cross-focused message that is to come, this is something you will want to get for yourself. Her article is called The Shadow of Death. She joined us from McCook, Nebraska, home of our sister station, KNGN. Let me tell you where you can write to get your subscription to The Fount Magazine. P.O. Box 12005, Fort Wayne, Indiana, zip code 46862. That's The Fount, P.O. Box 12005, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 46862. For five issues, it's $12 for a year. Sarah Schindel is our guest. Open lines for the remaining minutes of before the break here, and then open lines until 4 o'clock when we'll be talking about same-sex marriage with Senator Sarah Steelman, state senator from Rolla. She's author of a column in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch on same-sex marriage and the Missouri Constitution. As usual with open lines, it's anything that you want to talk about, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I've got something I'd like to talk about, and that is something I've been noticing for the last 2 years. Now, I know it's been going on longer than that. I first noticed this with Willow Creek, one of the biggest megachurches. And I follow it intensely because part of it is my job, and part of it is there are churches out there that are consciously, intentionally trying to set themselves on the front line, the avant-garde of what they think is the progress of the church into a new phase of existence. Church growth experts call it, rather cynically, a new way of doing church. One of the things that has emerged there at Willow Creek, and they're not unique, but they are the ones who probably, with the resources they have been blazing the trail, is the use of satellite churches. Now, not only in the sense of little churches that are intended to be satellites around the bigger church, but actual use of satellite feeds in order to bring what they do on Sunday morning or during the weekday, to other congregations that depend really entirely upon what goes on at the one big church. Now, what raises this in my mind today? Yesterday, the National Association of Evangelicals and Focus on the Family had a message that was sent via satellite on the subject of gay marriage. Now, this was one of these moral issues upon which Christians from all over the place can agree. Gay marriage. So you could be Roman Catholic. You can be evangelical. You can be generic Protestant. You can be a Lutheran. You can be a Methodist. You can be a Pentecostal. And you can find agreement in this moral issue, gay marriage. Before we talk about the whole issue of this, of the satellite church and the message that's being piped in that may not be the simple moral issue whereon God's word is black and white and everyone can agree, but it might be quite different than what you were supposed to be hearing. Let's hear from some of what the broadcast yesterday had to say. Ted Haggard, he's been president of the National Association of Evangelicals for about a year and a half now. He says that children do best in a family that is headed by both a mother and a father.
We believe the core of that is marriage. And that's why we're for the Federal Marriage Amendment. We want the Federal Marriage Amendment to say that if people are going to call themselves married, they are a man and they are a woman that's gotten together in a committed relationship in order to have a family and to glorify God in that family.
Okay, that's Ted Haggard from the National Association of Evangelicals during the Focus on the Family satellite feed yesterday that went into many congregations nationwide. That's where it's intended to go. Okay, perhaps, let's say for the sake of argument, you were in one of the churches that said, folks, we're going to take a little break here on Sunday morning. We're going to hear what they have to say. Some people make some arguments in favor of a national marriage amendment. It's on a moral issue, gay marriage. Most Christians agree on this issue. Would you want to hear this in your church yesterday morning? Via satellite, coming from people who are not associated with your church or do not necessarily believe in line with what your church teaches. Would you want this in your church yesterday morning? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This, of course, at least in terms of its technology, is becoming all the rage. Because now we can do this. We can bring in live via satellite almost anyone we want to. But that also raises some questions. When it's live via satellite, can your pastor do anything if what the person on the other end of the satellite starts saying starts to run afoul of what you are supposed to be taught, what you are supposed to hear on a Sunday morning? Now, on the issue of gay marriage, that's kind of a no-brainer, right? Here's James Dobson. He's founder of Focus on the Family. He says he's been discouraged lately about the prospects for passing a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage.
I've seen that the Congress is doing nothing, and I've seen that the forces arrayed against us are enormous, and it just seems like a bridge too far. It seems like a mountain too high to climb. And I have been chastised by the Lord for that. He is still on the throne.
Okay, now, James Dobson is a clinical psychologist. As far as I know, he's a Nazarene or has been at some time in the past a Nazarene. He doesn't most often pretend to be any kind of a preacher. And when he does his psychologist thing and his social activist thing, I usually stand four square with him. I remember, now this was in the days before satellite, when James Dobson was a regular feature in many churches that I attended. On Sunday evening, they'd invite everybody back after the church service. We're going to let James Dobson, a Focus on the Family, we're going to have a film. Back in those days, it was actually film, not video. We're going to have a film of James Dobson, one of his presentations, and we would sit and take notes, and it was tremendous stuff. I remember it. Well, now you can have James Dobson live. And not only James Dobson, you could have Bill Hybels or Rick Warren. Many churches have. On Sunday morning, sometimes in the place of the sermon, not talking about gay marriage, but actually preaching sermons. What do you think about this? We can do it. There's no question about it. This is something we can do. I'm not talking in terms of whether we should. The technology permits us to be able to do this kind of thing on Sunday morning now. No longer do you necessarily need a preacher to preach to you right there live. If you go to one of the satellite churches for Willow Creek up in the greater Chicago area, you might not even have a preacher. You know what you got? A screen and someone running the feed. And when church starts, maybe you might have a house band. But when the house band's done, the lights go down, the screen suddenly blinks into life, and there's Bill Hybels. He's preaching the sermon at your church that Sunday morning. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. When we come back during open lines, we'll hear more from Dr. James Dobson on yesterday's broadcast via satellite to churches on the issue of gay marriage. That's all when we come back. Stay tuned.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Why do Lutherans believe as they do about baptism, confession and absolution, the Lord's Supper? Why do Lutherans insist that Christian preaching be the preaching of law and gospel? Why do Lutherans worship the way they do? You'll find answers to these questions in our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, Why I Am a Lutheran, Jesus at the Center by Pastor Daniel Preuss. The book Why I Am a Lutheran costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. You can order it from Concordia Publishing House by calling them weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Why I Am a Lutheran, Jesus at the Center by Pastor Daniel Preuss. 1-800-325-3040.
Now this Global Minute lets you hear that taking a missions trip allows God to work in your life and bolster your faith. Barissa Maharaj is a high school student who took a ministry trip to India last summer with her sister. People were praying for them constantly.
we think, well, we're going out and God really wants us to reach these people, but it's also us that he's reaching, and it's like an incredible step of faith to take, and just knowing that he's going to protect you, and he sends these little messages all over the place, like those people who are praying for us, and we can just feel the prayers, and it's just so amazing. It's a really incredible experience to know that God really cares that much for you.
Marissa, her sister Davida, and their father Ravi Maharaj, author of the book Death of a Guru, also visited a hospital in northern India that a Christian doctor started, and it's run entirely on faith and prayer. Get information to pray for people around the world by visiting the website missionvisionnetwork.org. That's missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Are you feuding with someone? The world has gotten used to holding its breath every time those nuclear-armed enemies, India and Pakistan, face off. Andrew Wang of the Associated Press reports that every evening, at a border crossing between India and Pakistan, soldiers from each side lower their nation's flags in mirror-image displays of high-step marching and jingoistic posturing that routinely draw thousands of onlookers. The soldiers, writes Wang, are friendly with each other during the day, but turn out at sunset to rattle their sabers in ostentatious displays of chest-pounding fervor. Enemies can be civil with one another, be they nations at war or feuding people. Thank goodness the civilized world isn't completely filled with Jerry Springer show antics or World Wrestling Federation brainlessness. Of course, the best thing at our personal level is the prayer Jesus taught us, Our Father who art in heaven, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. When you do that, you and your enemy may not become the best of buds, but you will stop launching your destructive verbal bombs. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity.
Twilight Tuesdays, the popular outdoor concert series at the Missouri History Museum, returns with a spectacular spring lineup. Twilight Tuesday concerts are held now through June 8th. Twilight Tuesday musical guests perform from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Twilight Tuesdays will take place on the North Lawn, Dula Plaza, of the Missouri History Museum at Lindell and DeBolivar in Forest Park. Lawn chairs and picnics are welcome. Food and drinks will be available for purchase at the event.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Open lines until halfway through, open lines until the top of the hour, till 4 o'clock. We're going to be talking then to Senator Sarah Steelman about same-sex marriage. This technology is amazing stuff. Working in the business that I do now, you get to see how quickly it moves and how quickly it advances. When I first started in radio part-time back in the late 80s, we were still using cart machines and actual reel-to-reel tape. And if there was a computer around, it was purely for word processing. And none of the production was done with the help of any of this stuff. And satellite was only in its infancy. Remember those giant satellite? We have one sitting outside collecting dust outside the studio. Giant satellite dishes. Now everything moves quicker and faster. Now, not only can we bring a nationally syndicated radio program across the nation with one fell swoop, we can bring worship services across the nation with one fell swoop. You could turn on your television on Sunday morning and stay home and watch the Hour of Power with Robert Shula that comes to you live via satellite. Or you can go to church and, well, what if you got there and the big screen was set up and it was Robert Shuler's Hour of Power right there on Sunday morning during the worship hour? I mean, it's worship, isn't it? This isn't just a theory. This is happening. There are churches that are giving over their worship hour, especially the hour of preaching, to live satellite feeds from places that are far afield and sometimes theologically far afield from what those churches teach and believe. Does it make a difference to you in this question for Open Lines whether or not it's a live feed from someplace you can't control what's happening during that live feed, or whether it's on tape, it's pre-recorded, where someone could have, at least in theory, gone through it before and edited it to fit the audience, take out anything that might have been counter to what the audience believes. Does it make any difference to you whether it's Sunday morning during the worship hour or Sunday afternoon during the Bible study time? We're talking about these live satellite feeds that are becoming all the rage. We have the technology to do it. Does that mean the church should be doing it? What raises the question in my mind is yesterday's live satellite feed sponsored by Focus on the Family and the National Association of Evangelicals, where James Dobson and several others address the issue of gay marriage. And there are churches that probably, because they had the technology, tuned in. What kind of stuff did they hear? Let's listen. Here's James Dobson again. He says that God-ordained marriage is the union of a man and a woman.
Are we now going to throw it on the ash heap of history?
No.
Do you have the courage to fight for it?
Yes.
This is a critical moment.
Now, if I'm a pastor and I want to see the National Marriage Amendment passed, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get my audience activated? I say audience. Maybe if I'm a pastor, I should be thinking congregation. How am I going to get my congregation activated toward this issue and get them out there writing the right people and calling the right people so that we can get a National Marriage Amendment banning gay marriage, which I'm in favor of banning gay marriage. I think that's a good idea. How am I going to do it? I know what I'll do. On Sunday morning, I can save myself a little time. Instead of doing regular worship and preaching, you know, James Dobson in the National Association of Evangelicals has this live satellite feed, and I can kill two birds with one stone. I can save myself a little time, take a little break on Sunday morning, but I can also activate my people on this political issue. Yes, gay marriage is also a moral issue to which God's word speaks clearly in black and white terms. I'm not arguing with that. But the National Marriage Amendment is not necessarily something that where we can pull out the Bible and say, thus saith the Lord, the National Marriage Amendment itself. There are other ways of skinning that cat, right? So what would you think about your pastor basically allowing James Dobson and Ted Haggard to lobby in favor of a constitutional amendment on Sunday morning during the worship hour? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Does it make a difference whether it's live or taped? Does it make a difference when it is Sunday morning during the worship hour or during the Bible class hour? Does it make a difference whether or not it's James Dobson on gay marriage or someone else on, say, like Rick Warren, Heavenly Rewards? James Dobson says that the future of the family is at stake.
Traditional marriage between one man and one woman cannot coexist with homosexual marriage. It will destroy the family.
And I think he's right there. It will destroy the family from without, not from within. The family is strong from within, but when the culture begins to countenance other models for marriage that are not only legally but socially acceptable, then yes, the family is going to be under even more assault than it already is. He's right there. I agree with his social conclusions. Should this be fed to your church on Sunday morning, when at least we're supposed to be gathered to hear God's word preached, the message of the cross, and to worship? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Finally, from Dr. James Dobson of Focus on the Family, he says Christians must phone their senators to demand passage of the Federal Marriage Amendment.
Besiege your members of Congress about the Federal Marriage Amendment. Make it clear you will not take no for an answer. Go to their state offices. Harangue them. Do whatever you can to get their attention. Only 30 senators out of 100 so far have said they will sign it.
Now, this is a message which we can politically agree. But this isn't the gospel, right? This isn't a message, oh, sinner, here is your Savior. Let us show you Jesus crucified for you. It's not that. It's a clear message from the Word of God, but it's not the central message, which is what Sunday morning's for. And I'm thinking of this little scenario. The big church, the big city church, that decided to carry James Dobson and Haggard's presentation on the Federal Marriage Amendment on Sunday morning instead of the sermon. In walks a homosexual. What does he need from that church more than that only the church can give him? The church he walked into, what does he need that Sunday morning? You're right. He needs to hear the message of repentance for his sin. Like every sinner, like you and me, he needs to hear the message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ. That's what he needs to hear. But if he walks into that big city church where they've decided instead of the sermon they're going to have Ted Haggard and James Dobson, he's going to hear a very clear teaching of Scripture against gay marriage. And he's going to hear actual lobbying for a marriage amendment, of which I'm in favor, but he's going to hear that. He is not going to hear, if this is what substitutes for the sermon or for the worship hour, he is not going to hear a message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He might walk away that Sunday morning, having walked into a church, the only place on earth where he can get, you know, he can get lobbying for a federal marriage amendment any place, on any street corner. The only place where God is giving out the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name is in the church. He will walk out of that church not having heard the message that will literally save him. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Another speaker yesterday in this live satellite feed was Bishop Wellington Boone. He's pastor of the Father's House. He says gay advocates are spreading confusion about marriage and civil rights.
We got to let them know we're not confused. We're going to make a difference right now. Look, we are standing flat-footed about this. There is no wiggle room on this thing here. We're standing with God on this one. No wiggle room at all about it. Glory to God.
Now, I said before, James Dobson makes no pretense at being a preacher, right? Okay, so what would one expect to hear from James Dobson? He is a clinical psychologist and, I think he would probably admit, a social activist. No, nothing derogatory in that. That's what he is. He's an organizer of people and of causes. Bishop Boone is a pastor. I think Ted Haggard is also a pastor, but he stands there on this live satellite feed as the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. Bishop Boone is a pastor. This is Sunday morning. It's not what he's saying is wrong. Is this the place? Especially churches that might have used this instead of their sermon. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Let's go first to Steve, who is calling from his car. Steve, welcome to Issues, Etc. Steve, welcome. We'll get Steve back here in just a moment. Steve?
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
I agree with you that a presentation like that should not be shown during the Sunday worship time. But where did you think that's the way that was being presented? Because I got an email announcement about that the other day, and it was not presented that way. The churches that I saw were showing it. I got it through my pro-life ministry email list, and it was going to be shown in the evening on Sunday as a, you know, an optional program for whoever was interested in attending.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Steve. Thank you very much. No, I'm asking, what if? This is a what if. This is a hypothetical. What if this were during the worship hour? Lots of churches do, by the way, have Sunday services on Sunday evening. Lots of them do. They have the morning service and then they have an evening service, particularly those of the Baptist persuasion, at least where I came from. So what if this were actually a substitute for the worship service? Now, that's just one question and a whole complex of questions here. We don't have to talk just about this National Association of Evangelicals focus on the family satellite feed. We can talk about satellite feeds that are scheduled for Sunday mornings. I mentioned Willow Creek. I mentioned, you know, they would like very much to have all sorts of congregations of all sorts of denominations in their association and receiving their satellite feed on a Sunday morning or on a midweek service. We talked about Pastor Rick Warren's church out in Saddleback that is part of the 40 Days of Purpose. I believe has at the very least a taped feed for people to receive. And sometimes these things, sometimes in churches that have no association with the Southern Baptist Convention, of which Saddleback is a member, no association whatsoever, believe and teach very differently, actually have, instead of the sermon, Rick Warren on the big screen, walking the congregation through the introductory phases of the purpose-driven life and 40 Days of Purpose. What do you think about receiving in your church satellite feeds that come from organizations that are not affiliated with your church body, and that in some of their particulars teach very differently from what your church body teaches? Give me a call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Mark's up next, calling from his car. Mark, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Pastor. I think you're on to probably the most important issue facing Christianity today, in that replacing the gospel with very important social matters, but matters that really they've given inside the church the impression that Christianity is a moral movement, or simply a moral movement, and definitely outside the church, they just see that we're just one among many moral movements now.
Thank you, Mark. You know, I hearken back to the time when, and I had to watch much of this on, all of this on television, because tragically Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated before I was born. I think it was before I was born. No, it was a couple years after I was born. I was a little baby child. I was a four-year-old, I believe, when he was assassinated. 1968. Many of his most famous political speeches calling of the civil rights movement came from pulpits of churches. On Sunday morning, on Sunday evening, during worship services. Now, if Jesse Jackson steps into the pulpit of a big AME church in Washington, D.C., and starts doing his civil rights shtick on Sunday morning, a lot of evangelicals look in at that and say, what is he doing? He's wasting pulpit time talking about his rainbow coalition or this or that or the other thing. But if it was Sunday evening and this was the satellite feed that took the place of your Sunday evening service, people aren't batting an eye. Maybe they agree with the politics. And Mark is right. What it does is it portrays to the world that the church is, well, more or less just a moral institution. And increasingly, a political institution. I mean, when you say write your senator, call your senator, get ready to vote for this. I mean, that is overtly political speech. There's no two ways about it. It is. If Jesse Jackson were had a live satellite feed to all of his Rainbow Coalition people on a Sunday morning, people would be dancing in the streets in outrage. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What's the pulpit for? Ruthie's calling from St. Louis.
Hi, Pastor. Todd, I just want to say that for years I've known people that ditched church completely just to watch Sunday morning preaching on TV. I mean, they see no need to go to church anymore when you have DJ Kennedy or whoever else on Sunday morning. So I don't think the satellite feed was too far behind that.
Ruthie, thank you very much. It's true. Yes, it's true. Be it Oral Roberts or the Hour of Power, any of the other place, any of the other services you can get in your home. Now, look, I get better resolution on a big screen television than I would from the big screen and I don't have the distraction of all those pesky other people around me. I can step into the kitchen at any time I want. If I have TiVo, I can pause live television, go get a cup of coffee, and come back and not miss a beat. Why do I need to go to church? You're right. The live satellite feed was not far behind. You know, something is still keeping Willow Creek from saying, why are we wasting our time feeding it out to a bunch of little congregations in the greater Chicago area and nationwide? Why don't we just put it up on the satellite in the broadcast medium, so that we can have the Willow Creek Hour? Why aren't they doing that? Well, I won't tell you why. I don't rightly know why. I have some suspicions. I think they have more to do with growing an association. You see, if you just got it out there wherever we can pull it down off of cable or satellite or dish TV, you don't need an association. If you want an association, you keep it in the inner circle, right? You know, I wondered whether or not many people realized that the satellite feed and the taped feed that they were taking in their churches for 40 Days of Purpose, Rick Warren's Purpose Driven Life book, was essentially an hour-long infomercial for the book. Oh, it's not an infomercial. We already bought the book. Yeah, some commercials work even before you see them. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Doug's up next. He's calling from his car. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Pastor. I was just wondering if, I don't see a whole lot wrong with it for the simple fact that if a pastor uses it on occasion, not on a regular basis. If he did it on a regular basis, I think he needs to be fired. But if he did it on occasion for certain important items such as a marriage amendment, I don't see a problem with it on Sunday morning for the simple fact that Sunday morning is supposed to be for the Christian in the church. In the first century church, it wasn't designed for non-believers to even be in the worship service itself. It's to equip the saints to go out and reach the sinners.
So a couple things, Doug, before I let you go. I just want to know if I'm hearing you correctly. You wouldn't have a problem on occasion if the pastor said, now, normally we would hear about Jesus this morning, but today we're going to hear from James Dobson and Ted Haggard on the issue of a gay marriage amendment.
Yes.
You wouldn't have a problem with that. On occasion.
On occasion,
how many times would be too many times? How many Sundays would he have to take Jesus away and give you the marriage amendment before he was not doing his job?
Well, personally, I have great respect for James Dobson. I believe that everything that he does is based on Jesus and on his gospel message, and I don't necessarily see it as taking Jesus away. It's bringing him more into the forefront on our daily life.
Well, okay, there are lots of people who are not Christians who are on the bandwagon with this gay marriage amendment. What if one of the panel speakers during the live satellite feed was a Muslim imam who's in favor of the gay marriage amendment? He doesn't do what he does on the basis of the gospel message.
Then I wouldn't show anything of him in my church, no.
I just don't know why, though. Thank you very much, Doug. It's not whether or not, it's not James Dobson motivation that we're talking about here. Yes, lots of people are motivated by the gospel to say what they say. But what they say is not necessarily the gospel. How many times would your pastor have to basically rob you of Jesus on a Sunday morning in favor of some other message? A good message? But not the good news of the gospel. A message that Christians do need to hear, but of course they can hear it 6 days a week, just about any place they want to. Only the church can give them Jesus. How many times? There's only one message that saves. There's only one message that sinners absolutely need upon, it's a life and death issue, and that is the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's only one message that sustains, strengthens, grows the church, and that is the message of the cross and the man who hung thereupon, bearing our sins in His body, who went into the grave for 3 days and came out alive after 3 days. I'm all in favor of the message of the federal marriage amendment getting out as broadly and as widely as it can. But should it take the place of the message that saves sinners on Sunday morning? Even occasionally? I wonder again about the, not even the homosexual, but the sinner that walks into that church on that Sunday morning. Maybe it's the only time he's going to darken the door. He gets a good instruction on what he ought to do in order to help pass the federal marriage amendment, but he doesn't get Jesus. And what sinners need is Jesus. Roger's calling from his car. Roger, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, question for you. Matthew 19 talks about the marriage vows, and Jesus himself was telling us what he gave us. So I think if the message was preached in that vein, it would be a lot better than if we got to watch Dr. Dobson on videotape, because we can always tune him in on your radio station or several others. So I, in a sense, agree with you. If the minister wants to give the message from the gospel, it's a lot better than to hear a bunch of people who I really respect. But I think their place is after church or, weekday home on the car or going to work. But I'd rather hear the message preached from the gospel than on a panel discussion.
Roger, thank you for the call. If it's part of the sermon, What should the central message be on Sunday morning? I asked the question very briefly just a moment ago. What's the pulpit for? See, here's the problem. If we don't answer that question, or if we have answers that's, well, it's for whatever the pastor seems to think is expedient that morning, then get ready, folks, for less Jesus. Get ready for more of everything else and less Jesus every Sunday. And eventually, get ready for no Jesus. Very quickly, as our time winds down, Monica's up next calling from Swansea. Hi, Monica.
The pulpit's for Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, and that's it, nothing else. But my question to you is, being a former pastor of a congregation, how do you view a congregation using a church newsletter and or the bulletin on Sunday morning to let people know that, let's say, this is being used in the community some way on a Saturday afternoon, not in a worship service, but in some other type of setting?
Absolutely in favor of it.
Great.
Absolutely in favor of it. Thank you. Yeah, the bulletin is a whole different matter. Can we circulate information in a bulletin that may be of use and of interest to the people there apart from what they really need to be there for? Yes, of course. We do it all the time, with, of course, within reason. Kathy's calling from St. Charles. Kathy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. What about within our own church when there's like maybe some sort of a political type organization within our own church body? At the church we were attending one time, they had a presentation instead of the regular worship, and it was basically about the mission of this particular organization within the Lutheran Church. And, you know, my husband and I had a problem with that. We thought it should have been done like Sunday morning at the Bible class or something like that, but we didn't particularly appreciate it as the worship.
Kathy, thank you for the call. It goes to the very heart of the question. You know, I preach by invitation around the St. Louis area within about a 100-mile radius on a regular basis. I go do what we've called, for lack of a better term, KFUO Sundays. And pastors are wary. They say, what are you going to do? What are you going to preach? I say, I preach God's word. You tell me what the reading you have for that Sunday morning, and I preach that. I preach Christ and Him crucified. Well, when are we going to hear about KFUO? Well, in the midst of actually studying the Bible during Bible class, I will talk a bit about the outreach of AM 850 KFUO. And I'll be available to answer people's questions. I have some literature I can hand out and all that kind of stuff. But the pulpit is for Christ and Him crucified, and Bible class hour is for studying the Bible, not for infomercials. The church is a great place to do infomercials, but it's not the place to do it. Yes, of course, it's the captive audience of Sunday morning, isn't it? You can get all sorts of politics and advertisements done on Sunday morning if you want to. I would ask, if you really are a sinner who needs Jesus, why would you want to? Why would you want something other than Jesus on Sunday morning? We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.